You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
I want you to take your binders out. Did you guys get a binder when you came in? Take your binder out and flip it over to the back cover. We have something called a men's ministry manifesto. And we'll be talking about it in the weeks to come. It's more than just a little slogan on the back of the binder. This is who we are. This is why we do men's ministry. And this is more than just a manifesto that, you know, it's a nice slogan, a statement of faith that you have on your wall. No. This is really what we are all about. And so let me hear you with a unified voice. Let me hear you read this first one. I'll say it, and then I want to hear you read it all together out loud. Our men's ministry manifesto: as men, we live to be men who embrace the call of God upon our life. Let me hear you.
We embrace the call of God upon our
life. Oh, sounds so good, man. When God's men speak up, it sounds so good. We live to be men who embrace the call of God upon our life. And you say, what the heck does that mean? Here's what it means. God has a call upon your life. Individually, singularly, God has a specific calling. He made you for a reason. And that reason was to know him, to know his ways. And he has a specific path that he wants you to walk. He's given you a sphere of influence. He's given you some responsibilities that he wants you to manage well. He wants you to be a builder of his kingdom. You have a work to do. If you are new to the faith, I want you to know God is a masterful creator. And the things that he makes all have incredible purpose. I love watching nature, man. You look at a hawk fly across the sky, or you look at a lion in the jungle as the king of the beast. You know, you look at a giraffe. I saw a giraffe whacking an animal with its neck the other day. Actually picked this thing up and threw it. It was like amazing power, right? And each creature, so distinct, so different, but given very unique gifts to fulfill a specific role in God's kingdom. Now that's in the natural world. That's in nature that we see that. I want you to know you as men are the top of the food chain. You are the highest of all his creation. He's called you to be a spiritual leader. And he has a calling on your life that he wants you to embrace. And when you walk in that calling, you begin to embrace the call of God on your life. You begin to experience him working in your life. And I tell you, it is then and then alone that life gets amazing. That calling, of course, could not be possible without the blood of Jesus Christ. This God who loves you and created you to know him, to experience his love, to walk in his ways. He wants to give you wisdom and discernment to do all those things. That God also knows that we're sinners, that we're messed up, and we fall short of that calling all the time. And so that God became a man, and he went to a cross, and he died on the cross to take the punishment and the wrath of all of our shortcomings upon himself. And as men who are in Jesus Christ, we have the righteousness of Christ imparted to us. And that calling can only be embraced when we are under the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life, the blood of Jesus Christ in our life. Which leads us to our second point. Not only do we want to be men who embrace the call of God upon our lives, but secondly, we want to be builders of men. So let me hear you say it. We live to be men who are, say it that way. Wow. Builders of men. Think about it. By men, I don't mean males only. I mean humans. You are a builder of humans. If you're in a dating relationship, you're a builder of that woman that you're dating. We don't even call it dating here at the Mission Church. We call it courting. You're moving towards marriage. That's the only reason you would be with a woman. Moving towards marriage, and God wants you to be a builder there. If you have a wife, you're a builder of your wife. If you have friends, you're to be building, pouring things in their life, using the gifts God's given you to edify others. You're a builder of men. If you have sons and daughters, one of the highest callings, man, that you would be a father, that you would be a father to the boys, to the girls that God has put under your authority, and that you would build them. The world is going crazy, if you haven't noticed. There are some wild things going on. Have you seen some of these wild things? I saw today Governor Newsom did a tweet as he invites everybody who wants an abortion to come to California as a sanctuary state. Put this slide up there for me, if you will. It says, need an abortion? California is ready to help. Learn more at abortionca.gov. And then notice this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Mark 12:31. Wow. Why do I show you that? Because there is confusion in the world about what it means to be a man of God. There is confusion in the world about what godliness is. That is blasphemous. And we here at Men's Ministry, we're here to understand this third part on your Men's Ministry Manifesto. That's we live to be men who reveal the lordship of Jesus Christ in our actions. You see, there's a lot of different ideas in the world about what love is, about what wisdom is, about what is right and wrong, and none of them matter. There's only one that matters, and that's God's word. God's word decides what is right and wrong. The very first thing God did when he created Adam and Eve, he said there's one prohibition. You can do anything you want in the entire world, anything. You can have sex. You can make love right here. You can do whatever you want. Made her for you. It's all good. The only thing I don't want you to do, what was the prohibition? Do not partake of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. What does that mean? What is God saying? Here's what he's saying. Do not decide for yourself the knowledge of what is good and evil. What is Newsom doing here? He's deciding for himself what is good and what is evil. And we live to be men who reveal the lordship of Jesus Christ in our actions. And we do that by allowing him to be Lord. What he says is right is right. What he says is good is good. What he says is evil is evil. And we have gathered here tonight, and we're going to be gathering in the weeks to come to really study God's word and to know what God says, what God's will is, because God's will is not a mystery. God's will has been clearly revealed. You don't have to ask what God's will is. God's will has been clearly revealed in his word. And so we're going to grow in that. And that's what it means to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It means you make him the authority, the boss, the head of your life. And we do what he says, not what we says. Say, you want to see how confusing the world is, how messed up the world is? Here's another slide for you, just to kick off men's ministry with a big bang. Look at this. San Diego schools enlist Paula the penis as part of gender identity instruction. And here's a woman dressed up in a big penis outfit with a tutu to tell your kids that there's no such thing as gender. And this is what's going on in the world. Okay, let's pull that off the screens quick. Why do I bring this up? Why do I bring this up? Not to be funny, not to be shocking. Here's why I bring it up. The time for godly men who know God's word and lead effectively has never been more important than now, because there have never been more lies being propagated. There has never been more deception being poured out. And men, it is time for us to stand, Take a look around this room right here. Take a look right now. Do you know how much power is in this room if we will do those three things? That we will embrace the call of God upon our life, that we'll be builders of other men, and we will reveal the lordship of Jesus Christ in our actions. Do you know what will happen if a group of men this size do that? We will transform the world. And I mean that quite literally. You say, wow, that's pretty, you know, grandeur. You know, I want you to know, I mean that literally. If we start building lives and doing the things that are on that manifesto, a group this size, we're going to change the world. One of the things we can do right now is take this seriously and call your school district, right? I did that. They put me on hold forever. They didn't want to call me back. Just pester the snot out of them until you finally get through. But let's be men who stand. Amen? And so that's our men's ministry manifesto. That's what we're all about. And we are going into, we're going to be looking at the life of Moses. And the life of Moses is a fascinating study. By the way, before I go further, your study guide has the first 8 lessons in it. There's 24 lessons in our series. 8 lessons will take us into when we break for Christmas, right? We'll finish in the around Thanksgiving. And so there's only 8 lessons in there. We will get you all the rest of the lessons. We've written through lesson 12 so far. We still have 12 to write. We'll get you all of the lessons. There'll be no charge, and we'll get them all to you in one shot, the next 12. And so keep your binder, and your binder didn't get gypped. They're coming. They're coming. They'll be in there. So we're going to be looking at the life of Moses. And the life of Moses is a fascinating study. We're really in for a journey. I don't know if you've ever done a study on an individual life. For you guys who were here before, we did it on the life of David. And it's really cool to see how God takes a man and how he begins to prepare him for his kingdom, begins to prepare him for his work, begins to prepare him for this calling that God has on his life. And God's ways are different than man's ways, right? We watch God work, and he will often take a man on interesting twists that you go, wow, what the heck? Why aren't you blessing him? Why aren't you helping him? Oh, he is. He is. Just his ways are incredibly wise. And if you're a father, you know you just can't give your kid everything he ever wants and just give him everything he wants the moment he asks for it. You know you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because you raise a spoiled kid that the world doesn't like, who cries when he doesn't get what he wants. And he can't have friends because he cries when he doesn't get what he wants. And he doesn't have any character and any substance to them, so that when he faces a difficulty, he just falls apart. No. As a dad, you do just the opposite. You start building some tough traits in him, some character in him, so that he can be a powerful influence in the world. And God does that in our lives with profound wisdom, with the most unique and awesome structure of ways where he just orchestrates events in life to build his man. And we're going to watch that. It's one of the things I love about doing a study on a man's life in the Bible. We're going to see that with Moses. Arguably, Moses, the most important, influential man in the Old Testament. Abraham, obviously a very important guy, Abraham being the father of the faith. But Moses, really, the founder of the Jewish religion, if you will, right? Abraham had this walk with God, but through Moses, Moses really founded the government of Israel. All the civil laws and all the precepts that God had built for the nation to be what it is. In addition to that, all the religious laws and the commandments and all these things, they all came through Moses. God uses Moses to write the first 5 books of the Bible. It's called the Pentateuch, right? It's Genesis. Think about Genesis. We're studying on Sunday. God used Moses to write all that. So really awesome. It's going to be amazing to look at this, how God builds this man. Not only was Moses the most influential man of the Old Testament, but think about what he did. He emancipated 2 to 3 million slaves and brought them from slavery into liberty. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, what a powerful accomplishment. Above all, what we're going to find and what we're going to look at and what we're really going to examine is Moses walked with God. He was even called a friend of God. We're going to see some incredible experiences. One of my favorites is when we get to Exodus 33, where this relationship that he has with this God who is using him powerfully and speaking the commandments to him and having him be the one who's leading the people. And Moses still says, God, I want to know you more. I want to see you more. I want more of you. And you're like, Moses, isn't it enough for you that you're already the representative? You're already there communing with God. No. God, I want to know you more. And I say that because I know some of you are quite advanced in your walk with the Lord. And I love that. You're called to be leaders in the church. And I love that. But I want you to know this. Moses, he was hungry for more of God. And God was delighted when he said, I want to know you more. And God revealed more of himself to Moses. So come hungry, is what I'm saying. Open your Bibles with expectation as you do your study. There's about 10 questions, 10 to 12 questions in each week's lesson. There's two ways to do it. We have premarital counseling here at the church. And there's two ways to go through premarital counseling. You can go through it. You can show up for your meetings. You say, yeah, I did premarital counseling. Or you can really allow premarital counseling to do heart surgery on you. And if you do it that way, you come out of premarital counseling with a really good foundation for your marriage. And I want you to know you have the same opportunity before you right now. Two ways to go through the next 24 weeks. You can really lean into this and really say, God, I want to know you more. I'm not going to leave, Lord, until you show me your glory and you really meditate on the homework. Or you can whip it out Tuesday after work as you're driving in your car and jot down a couple questions as you're driving to men's ministry. Now, I know there's times when you may not get to it. That's fine. Come anyway. But I want you to know if that's a pattern, you're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself. He's the rewarder. God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Man, seek him. Seek his face. It's one thing we're going to see about Moses. Moses was born in 1526 BC. So we're looking at something that is 3,500 years old. And yet God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the things Moses faced, you're going to relate to in a powerful way. And God takes this man who was born as a slave and begins to work in his life. Moses was hid by his parents. So there was an order to abort all the babies. Moses was hid by his parents. And they had him. They tried to keep him quiet. The time came, they couldn't keep him quiet. And they put him in an ark and put him in the Nile. And as divine sovereign providence would have it, Pharaoh's daughter is there bathing in the Nile, when this little ark comes floating down with a baby crying in it. She takes the baby and takes him into her own house, and Moses becomes a son of Pharaoh. Raised in the king of Egypt's house, in the royal palace, in the lap of luxury, with a silver spoon, and he gets the finest education money can buy. And he's being groomed. What's he being groomed for? To be the king of Egypt. This was his destiny. This was his trajectory. And something interesting happened. As he approached 40 years of age, learning, studying, diligent and all those things, waiting for his time to come, something shocking happened. Do you know what happened? Moses became discontent in life. Moses became discontent in life. All the wealth, all the power, all the prominence that came his way had not satisfied his soul. How do you explain that? No doubt it was confusing for Moses. What am I not happy about? What more could I possibly have? And yet he would go to bed at night saying the words that you've probably said. Is this all there is? Is this it? And he was discontent with life. All of the rigorous education, all that he had worked to advance his career in Egypt, all the things he had learned about leading, you know, the nation, it had left him empty. And all of it, Moses was empty inside. The education did not satisfy his soul. The wealth of Egypt did not satisfy his soul. All the women he had did not satisfy his soul. All the power, he was empty. And at 40 years of age, Moses is desperately empty. I'd like to ask you a question. Why? How can that be? How does that happen? Let me hear from you. How? Why? Why is it that way? What's that, Michael? Ah, okay. I could tell that voice apart from anyone. I didn't even see him. I knew that was Michael. I wish I had that voice. I'd be a great preacher if I had that voice. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Why? Why was he empty? He had the wealth of Egypt. All the wealth of the world cannot fill the longing of the human soul because you were created for God. And Moses and all of his success and all of his wealth and everything else could not just deal with this empty hole that he had in his heart. All the sports, all the women, all the fame, all the power, everything else just wasn't enough. And I know many of you have found that very same thing to be true. Do you know that is by design? Do you know God created you that way? That nothing could satisfy this longing that you have for him because you were created for him. That's why. I love how the book of Romans puts this. It's a verse worthy of a lot of meditation. I've committed it to memory just because it's so powerful. Romans 8:20, it's on your screens. Let me hear you read this in a unified, thundering voice. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Let's break that down a little bit. The creation was subjected to what? Futility. What does futility mean? Pointlessness, emptiness, a longing. Who's the creation? You are. He's not talking about all creation. He's talking about man. We were subjected to futility. And notice this, not willingly. I didn't choose to be subjected to that, did you? It'd be far easier if we could just wake up and be happy on our own, right? We didn't choose that, not willingly, but by reason of him, capital H, who's the him? God, who subjected you to this futility in hope. What was he doing in Moses' life? All the wealth, all the power, all the women. And Moses couldn't find anything. He was empty. He was subjecting Moses to that emptiness in hope. What is God's hope? Well, we can know for sure because verse 21 tells us. Let's look at verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Wow. What's that? God subjected Moses. God subjected you to futility that nothing could satisfy. And he did that in hope. That in that hope, you would start searching. You would start longing. You would start looking. And you'd say, you know what? I'm going to go to men's ministry. There's got to be something more. I'm going to start looking in God's word. There's got to be something more. I've got it. God did that so that you would hear his calling on your life and begin to embrace it. And when you do, he says, here's what's going to happen. You will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious what?
Liberty.
Liberty. What does liberty mean?
Freedom.
Into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We think that if we walk in God's ways, oh, your life is going to be so restricted. And God says just the opposite. You'll be free for the first time. You won't be bound by addiction. You won't be crippled by anger. You won't be impeded by your rash judgments. You won't be hindered and stagnated because of a lack of wisdom. But you'll be brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God, and you'll advance. And you know what? We're going to watch God do that very thing in Moses' life. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Moses was empty inside, but you know what? Moses realized something, and he decided to embrace God's call upon his life. And it's interesting to watch. We're going to look at it in the weeks to come. He sees an Egyptian beating one of the Jewish slaves. There were 2 to 3 million of them. And he sees one Egyptian beating a Jewish slave, and he's the next Pharaoh, right? He's got power. And he comes along, and he says, hey, what are you doing, right? And it turns into a scuffle. Scuffle, is that a word? Turns into a brawl, and he ends up killing the guy. Wasn't premeditated murder, but he ends up killing the guy. And the Pharaoh hears about it. And Moses says, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble now. And it doesn't go well with the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh looks at him like a traitor. And Moses realizes, I am in trouble. I gotta go. And here he had this heart's desire. He wanted to embrace this call of God. He stands up in an act of valiance for social justice. He decides to champion the underdog. And he thinks he's embracing the call of God on his life. And it backfires on him. And Moses' brand new ministry, as he steps out in faith because he's trying to embrace his call of God on his life, it comes to a crashing halt. And Moses has to flee from Egypt, and he does so as a broken man. And Moses goes out into the wilderness of Midian. It's about 250 miles away from Egypt. He gets the heck out of there. And you know what he's probably feeling? He's probably feeling like, God doesn't even want me. I can't do anything right. Empty, confused, broken. And I want you to know, it's a dark day when you realize that wealth and fame and money will leave you empty. That all these things will just are futile. There's just nothing there. But I tell you what, it is a really lonely and dark day when you try to embrace the call of God on your life and you fail miserably and you think that even God doesn't want you. And here's the thing to consider. Where's God in all this? What's going on? Moses had embraced the call of God upon his life. What was the problem? Why did this happen? And this is what I love about watching God build a man. Like, you think, God, what are you doing? I mean, the guy's trying to do the right thing. That's your calling on his life. That's his destiny. Well, do you know what happened? Moses did what we often do. We try to embrace the call of God upon our life, and we do it without God. We do it without making Jesus the Lord of our life. You see, do you know who was still the God of Moses' life when he killed the Egyptian? When he tried to stop the injustice that was in the world? When he tried to embrace the ministry calling that was on his life? Guess who was still Lord of Moses' life? Moses. And God says, we can't get there from here. So I'm going to let you go through some hardship. And I'm glad that the futility in your heart led you to realize there's got to be more to life than just Egypt, but we're still not on the right part. And I know a lot of men here tonight are in that spot right now. You've been dabbling in religion a long time. You've been dabbling in faith for a long time. But Jesus still isn't Lord of your life. You're trying to do the right things, but Jesus still isn't Lord of your life. That's where Moses was. And God says, no problem, I'll wait. And Moses has some time on his hands. Like many of us sitting in church, Moses was still the God of his own life, still doing things, godly things, but doing them his way. And God does what he always does. He waits till you break down even further. There's a verse that we'll look at a lot. We look at it in the church a lot. We hold it a lot. We talk about it a lot. It's repeated a lot in the Bible. It's James chapter 4. It's on your screens. Let me hear you read this. Who's the proud? We are. Guess what Moses was? He was proud. He thought he could do all these things in his own strength. And so are we. And God begins to gradually break down that pride. Break down that pride. Break down that pride. And it's a difficult journey. And he's doing something. He's bringing us to the place where we are now no longer the God of our own lives, but we actually say, Jesus, I'm going to start looking at your instruction. I'm going to start taking it seriously. I'm going to quit believing that my way is better, and I'm actually start doing it your way. And go back to the verse, please, James 4:6. God does resist the proud, but he also does something else. What else does he do? Grace to the humble. When I was young, they had things that were called fast pass at Disneyland. You remember those? If you're probably 30 years old or younger, you probably don't, but there was a fast pass at Disneyland, and you got to go to the front of the line with that fast pass. This is God's fast pass. Humble yourself, and God will just say, oh, man, I'll pour out grace on you. God loves to pour out his grace on us. Here in Moses' failure and despair, as he heads 250 miles away from home and goes out to Midian just looking for a new homeland, it's here that God begins to build his man. It's here that God begins his finest work. And Jesus said it this way. Moses was weary. You know, he had felt like God, Egypt had nothing for him, wealth had nothing for him, power had nothing for him, and even God has nothing for me. God doesn't even want me. And here's what Jesus said about that. He said, hey, come to me, all you who are what? Weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Moses, I'm not against you. And Moses, I haven't failed you. I am working in your life. I want you to know Jesus will never leave you empty. He just won't. He'll wait until you make him Lord of your life, but he will never leave you empty. And I want you to know that if you make Jesus Lord of your life, God is going to do something amazing. He's going to build you into something significant. And that's what men's ministry is all about. God is going to build you into something significant. How significant? Well, he's going to transform you and conform you into the image of Jesus. He's going to give you gifts that Jesus has. He's going to cause you to speak like Jesus spoke. He's going to give you wisdom like Jesus had. He's going to give you discernment where you can look at something and you can just see the divine will of God in that situation. None of us get all the gifts, but collectively as a body of men, all the gifts are here among us. All the gifts of Jesus Christ are here among us. And that's why it's important that we come together. That's why we come together in small groups, because a brother is going to speak to you in a way that Jesus would speak to you. And God's going to use you to speak to another brother as Jesus would speak to another brother. And then the body of Jesus, that's what he calls us, the body of Jesus. It just means that the hand's here. And it's a weird body. I mean, I got to admit, it's a weird body because the hand's here and the eye's over here and the mouth is over here and the kidney's over here. But we come together and it's the whole body, man, with all the gifts, the person of Jesus. And that's who we are together as men's ministry. And so this is the work that he's going to do in us. Make Jesus the Lord of your life, man. I promise you, he will build you into something significant. And we're going to watch him do it in Moses' life. And I love watching him do it in your life. I was telling the leaders in the leaders' meeting, you know, one of my favorite things about men's ministry is watching a man's life transform. And when that happens, you know what I know is right next to this, my second favorite thing. I watch the man's life transform. I can almost set my clock because it's going to be just a short time before his wife comes to me and say, you know what? Men's ministry is the best thing that ever happened to our family. Thank you so much for doing men's ministry. I just love men's ministry. And I tell you what, you start walking in this and you know what you'll have. Instead of a wife saying, are you going out again tonight? Are you going to do it? She's going to say, what time is men's ministry? She'll be packing your lunch, man. She'll be like supporting you through and through. So great things ahead for us. God builds Moses into this fantastic leader. He leads an entire nation, a leader who brings freedom to 3 million slaves and brings them into the glorious liberty of the children of God, where they can learn God's ways and walk in them. Now, what they do is up to them, but that's God uses him to lead that way. God uses Moses as a leader to lay the foundation of Israel's government, as I mentioned, and to write the Bible and to be a builder of his kingdom. And the coolest thing to me is that this is what God wants to do in our lives. If you ever wondered, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, just look at the world, man. Are the animals in the kingdom having a pretty good time? Do they all have stuff to do? Does the bee have a job? Every creature has a role in the kingdom, and it's awesome. And I want you to know, God wants you to be a builder of his kingdom. And when you begin to walk in that role, everything else begins to pale. Instead of living for golf, you'll go, oh my gosh, I've got a calling on my life. Instead of living to make money, you'll go, oh my gosh, I got a calling on my life. And things will begin to transform when Jesus begins to use your life. And we see this in Moses. I want you to know, Jesus wants to use our life. It's what he wants to do. We see it in Moses, and I know for sure the same thing is true in you. And here's my question to you. Will you let him? Will you let him? I know you think right now, oh yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that. It requires something. It requires that you take on his ways and you learn of him, that you learn how to make him the Lord of your life. Will you let him do that? That's what men's ministry is all about. And if you'll commit yourself to this, I want you to know it'll be an amazing journey together. Jesus said the word of God is like a seed and it falls on the ground and there's four different kinds of soils. Some get choked out right away. Some, the cares of life begin to choke it out later. Some begin to grow for a time, and then the persecution of life begins to choke it out and kill it. And they fall by the wayside. I would love nothing more than on the 24th lesson to see more men in this room than are here tonight. I would love nothing less. All right, let me put it this way. I would hate nothing more than to see a contingent of you fall by the wayside. Which man are you going to be? I want you to know that choosing Jesus Christ as your Lord and growing in his ways is often not convenient. It goes against our flesh. You're going to have to make a choice. It'll have to be intentional. And God will allow you to be tested in these things. Be wise. Lean in. And I promise you, God will build you. The last verse I'd like to give you is on your screens. This is what God delights to do. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Let me hear you read this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Let's stop there. God is looking all across the earth, looking for something. Let's read the rest. To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is committed to him. show himself strong on Moses' behalf. How could Moses take 3 million Jews out of Egypt? Answer, you could never. You could never. Go tell Biden that the United States, we're not paying taxes anymore. Go ahead, go tell him. Let's see how you do. You could never. That's what Moses did to Pharaoh. But God was in it. And the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth for one reason, to look for a man whose heart is fixed on him. To look for a man who says, I want to know you. I want to walk in your ways. I want to experience your power in my life. I want to embrace your calling because this world has nothing for me apart from you. I want to know you, Lord. And when we embrace that, I tell you what, we find out Jesus' plans for our lives are so much better than our own. I found that to be true. When I was young, I wanted to be a pro motocross rider. That was my big goal in life. You know what it left me with? A broken spine in 1982. Completely fractured and crushed L3. I'm blessed not to be paralyzed. I still didn't submit. I then wanted to be a millionaire, and I went on that path, and I thought, I'm going to own a dealership, and I'm going to invest in that. I'm going to work. I worked my tail to the bone just to be a millionaire. And all it left me was with narcissistic, selfish, a huge ego, just ridiculous man. And God waited. And he finally broke me down. And he reached me where I was. In all of my rebellion, in all of my selfishness, in all of my sin. And he said, I've got a better plan for you. And as you begin to walk in that plan, you realize as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than my ways. And all the things that I thought would satisfy, I realize were just futility. And I tell you, I built a wife. I built sons. I built a daughter. I built a family. And now that family's growing and my kids are having kids and it's like, it's amazing. And the intimacy of the relationships that are there. And he builds you as a leader and he starts using you for his kingdom and you start building his kingdom and it's like, wow. And you go, wow, Lord, your ways are so good. This is his plan for you. This is his path. May we embrace it. May we embrace it with all of our heart. May we stay focused when hardship comes, when your flesh says, I'm not going to go tonight. Lean in and let God do his work to his praise and to his glory. He's going to make you an amazing leader. Shall we stand?
You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.